Praise the Lord. We're going to be starting here tonight, and so thankful for everyone that's with us here. We're so thankful that the Lord is with us, and oh my, we're just going to bask in His presence as we begin, and we're going to get our minds on the Lord, and let's let Him have His way as we begin here tonight. Oh, praise the Lord. Okay, we're going to pray, and I just have a note here to pray for Dawn, so we're going to pray for you, Dawn, and ask God to heal you. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are here in our midst. Oh, God, we thank you for this great privilege to gather, Lord. Oh, God, to sing thy praises and to know, oh, God, that thou art God. Oh, in the midst of trouble, oh, God, in the midst of great distress, Lord, you are here. You are with us, Lord. You are here to help us to fight our battles and to overcome, Lord. And I pray, oh God, that you be with us as we endeavor here in this service, Lord, to bring forth your word, to sing your praises, to get our minds on thee, Lord. And I just pray that you'd work in a mighty way, Lord. Oh God, I pray for Dawn, Lord. I pray that you touch her. I pray that you heal her. Pray that you lift her up into heavenly places, Lord. And I pray in the name of Jesus that this infection would go away, Lord. In the name of Jesus, that it would go and not return. Oh God, for we come in thy name, Lord. We believe in thy promises. And oh God, we're asking, Lord, that you would completely 100% take it away, Lord. Restore her health, her vigor, oh Lord, her determination, Lord. And I pray that you work, Lord. Likewise, you know everyone's infirmities. You know everyone's need. And I pray, oh Lord, that you would work here tonight, Lord. Oh God, let thy will be done, Lord. Let thy will be done, Lord. Help us, God. Be here in a very special way, Lord. Let thy presence come down, Lord, and touch us, we pray, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. With your stripes we are healed. We thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, praise the Lord. It's like a recording studio over here tonight, but that's okay. I'm just so glad the Lord's here. I'm so glad for this opportunity. Oh my, with everything that's happening in this world, it's a wonderful thing to yet be able to open up God's Word together, to be able to sing together, to worship together. I'm just so thankful we have these moments, and let's draw nigh to God. Let's make the very best of it. We don't know what tomorrow's going to hold, what it will bring forth. And we're just going to, let's make the best of it right now. Let's gain our strength in the Lord. Praise the Lord. And oh yes, let's invite His presence to come down. Praise the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, I'm going to the piano and we're going to sing. Oh, and I'm just trusting you're all worshiping with me. And oh, yes, we'll let the Lord just have His way. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, we just stop. We're all going to some new songs perhaps here tonight, at least one or two maybe, but anyway, let's begin verse by singing In His Presence here, number 26 in the chorus book. Praise the Lord. Thank you. joy in serving the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I'd like to just sing, "The Joy of the Lord is My Strength." There, it's number 60 there. And of course, this comes out of the scripture. And oh, yes, even out of the book of Nehemiah, I believe. So let's just sing this simple little chorus. Oh, yes, we all need joy. And, you know, if we'll entertain the Spirit of the living God, if we'll worship Him, praise the Lord, His joy will be our strength. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's sing number 60 here. It's a chorus. I don't know when we sang it last. It's probably been years. But anyway, it came to me recently. And, you know, it's very encouraging. You know, if we've given our lives over to the Lord, if we've obeyed the gospel, we've gone down in the waters of baptism, oh, yes, believing to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, praise the Lord. The Lord has made us new creatures in Christ. Praise the Lord. And it's a new dimension. And too often we get caught up in the old and forget about what the Lord has done. And oh my, we just kind of get in the mundane and oh my, that's not the realm to be. But anyway, here's this little chorus. And words are, hallelujah, I want to sing all about it. Hallelujah, I want to tell all about it. Hallelujah, I can't live without it. Praise God, praise God. Now I'm living in the new creation. Now I'm drinking at the well of salvation. Now there is no condemnation. Praise God. Okay, praise the Lord. Let's give it a try. focus on the Lord and get our minds off everything else that even doesn't matter, really doesn't matter. We're just to have a goal, and that's heaven. Praise the Lord. And there is victory in Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let's just sing another song about victory. Let's go to 77 and sing, "In the name of Jesus, we have the victory." Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Oh, praise God. Oh, praise God. Praise the Lord. I know, maybe we have time for one more song. Let's do 16. Whisper a prayer. Amen. Praise the Lord. Whisper a prayer in the morning. Whisper a prayer at noon. Whisper a prayer in the evening. So keep your heart in tune. Okay, praise the Lord. Study now, and we'll see how the Lord leads with that. Praise our God. Okay, just give me a minute here. Is it on now? Okay, it's on? Okay, praise the Lord. Okay. All right. Samuel usually does this for me. He always does it for me when he's here, so. You just, yeah. Have to make sure here. Thank the Lord. Oh, our God is good. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're standing on God's promises. Amen. And he's with us. Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's begin here with a prayer and ask God to lead this Bible study here. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you again, Lord, for this opportunity. We thank you for your word that's forever settled in heaven. Oh, God, the word that you gave forth by the means of your prophets. So, Lord, and your spokesman that's all spoke on your behalf as the Lord, you gave them the words. And, Lord, I just pray, Lord, as this ministry goes forth, as this message goes forth, Lord, that you would use this for your name's sake and for your glory. Oh, God, I pray that you'd have free course, oh, Lord, and that you would work in a mighty way, Lord, for you know our needs as individuals. You know where we are in this realm of time, Lord. And I just pray, oh, God, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would help us to get ready, Lord, for this lifetime is short. And, oh, God, we just have a little bit of time to go forth and do thy will. And I pray, oh, God, that, oh, Lord, you would move in our lives, that you'd help us to get ready, that we might meet you, Lord. Oh, God, that we might rightly anticipate thy coming and live accordingly to it. Oh, Lord, I pray that you'd minister to us tonight. I pray that you'd meet the needs of your people, Lord. Let the devil have no place, oh, Lord. Let your spirit come forth, oh, Lord, to bring forth what thou hast ordained, oh, Lord. Oh, God, give us ears to hear, eyes to see, Lord. Oh, God, help our minds to perceive the good things of God. And, oh, God, help us not to be slothful. Oh, God, help us not to be negligent. But, oh, Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts and help us, Lord. Oh, God, for there is a great day coming and how we must be prepared in our hearts, oh, Lord, to meet thee, Lord Jesus. And we thank you in the name of Jesus for this opportunity. Have your way, Lord. Please use me, I pray, in Jesus' name. I know I could do nothing without you. Oh, God, work in a mighty way in our hearts, oh, Lord. Oh, God, let there be individuals that come to you tonight, Lord. Oh, Lord, let your people, oh, God, be admonished. And, oh, Lord, let your spirit fall, the Holy Ghost power. In the name of Jesus, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord Jesus. Oh, thank the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, God. We are definitely living in perilous times. And I know I heard tell, and then I found the article that goes on to tell us that in New York State that the Senate there actually passed this possibility here that it would be a bill that would forcibly throw people in concentration camps if somebody had the feeling that someone wasn't quite well or some kind of threat to public health, maybe a carrier, some kind of infection. And, you know, I just can't believe it. The governor has not signed it yet, as far as I know, and I pray he will not. But this seems to be just telling the story of where we are in time. Oh, my, you know, things that we thought would never happen in the United States of America. Never, never, never. Oh, my, we're seeing things that happened in Germany before the Nazis took over, I'm afraid. And how we need God. I mean that when I say I'm thankful for these opportunities that God has given us. I thank God that we are on the air and we can still publish the newsletter. And oh my, we can still minister. We can still meet. It's a wonderful privilege. It's a blessing. But I know we're living in perilous times, and I don't know what is around the corner. We just see indicators all around us. And surely it is time for us to know that we need to lift up our hands, lift up our heads, and realize that the Lord's coming draweth nigh. Amen. We're at the edge of eternity, I do believe. I do believe. And it is time for us to have our lamps trimmed and burning. Listen, if you ever plan to get serious, it's got to be now. If you ever did have anticipations of things that you wanted to do for the kingdom's sake, it's time to do it now. Yes, we have just a little bit of time to work for the Lord. And who's to know? Maybe, you know, God will stretch it out just a wee bit. I don't know. But we're seeing fearful things coming upon the face of this earth. We've already seen things that we never could have comprehended in our own minds unless the Lord had given us a vision. But praise the Lord. We have hope in the Lord, and we have our roadmap. We have the Word of God. Amen. And we're going to open it up tonight. We're going to open up the scripture. We're going to open up our King James Bibles and praise the Lord. We're going to call this message, Whom Shall He Teach Knowledge? Praise the Lord. We're going to Isaiah chapter 28. Amen. Praise the Lord. Whom shall He teach knowledge? Amen. Okay. Praise the Lord. The Lord's help here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's begin to look at this chapter, amen, and see what the Lord will show us. Praise God. Verse 1. Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, which are on the head of the fat bellies of them that are overcome with wine. Okay, so here we're hearing a woe here, a very distinct woe, and it's to those that are rulers, I would say. The crown of pride, it just describes here. And also, besides that, it's also describing them as drunkards. And obviously they had some prestige and some power, some, you know, so-called earthly glory, you could say. But their glory is like a fading flower, it tells us, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower. So, despite of their pride, because that's obviously brought out in this very first verse here, and you know the fact that they're not very stable in that sense, they're drunkards. A drunkard doesn't have a good discernment. A drunkard may do very foolish things and not even realize it. You know, the 23rd chapter of Proverbs describes it. The state of a drunkard, and you know it's not very beautiful to behold. You know, we're told, you know, warnings here in Proverbs 23. It says in verse 33, speaking of a drunkard, thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast, you know, not even realizing, you know, the danger and you know, what's involved. You know, you can't lie across the top of a mast and, you know, think you're going to stay there, you know, all that sort of thing. And it says in verse 35, they have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. Oh, how sad. It's describing a condition of no discernment when people don't perceive what is going on in their lives, in the world. And they, you know, have a cloud of you know, illusion all around them and just thinking something is completely different than reality. Well, I do believe that that is the circumstances in this world today. And, you know, not even drunken because of strong drink, but because of the illusions, of false thinking, because of the lies and everything else that has come upon the face of the earth. Goes on to tell us in verse 2, behold, the Lord hath a mighty and strong one, which as a tempest of hail and a destroying storm, as a flood of mighty waters overflowing, shall cast down to the earth with a hand. I believe this is descriptive of God's sudden and swift judgment. Oh yes, our mighty God knows when that day of judgment is forthcoming. There is a day when he will judge this world in righteousness. Amen. And oh, it's going to be sudden. It's going to be swift. But it's also going to be accurate. He is going to judge every individual according to their deeds. And there's going to be no cover-ups when God judges this earth. Oh my, it's going to be as it is, for he knows the hearts. He discerns every detail. And nothing has been missed from his understanding. So yes, there is that day coming when Almighty God, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus is going to come to judge this world in righteousness. And all at once, oh my, those that are so full of themselves, so full of their pride and everything else are going to be cast down to the earth by the hand of God Almighty. Amen. It tells us in verse 3, the crown of pride. The drunkards of Ephraim shall be trodden under feet. In other words, they're going to be smashed. They're going to be destroyed. It's going to be over. There's going to be no hope when God's hand, oh yes, goes forth to reap this earth in his righteous judgment. Oh my, you know, people have not comprehended the judgment of God. People like to talk about his love, his goodness, and all those kind of things. But oh my, there's another side to God. Thinking of the verse in Psalm 76, verse 7, where it asks, "Thou, even thou art to be feared, and who may stand in thy sight when once thou art angry?" Oh, what a question. "Thou, even thou art to be feared, and who may stand in thy sight when once thou art angry?" Oh, he's coming back to judge this world. His righteous judgment will prevail. And oh, yes, it will be put forth according to proper judgment, very accurately as God has recorded it, as God has noted it. Amen. That's right. He is to be feared. We better fear him now. Yes, because if we don't now, we're all going to be smashed under his hand of judgment. Amen. We're going to be trodden under feet. It goes on to tell us in verse 4, "And the glorious beauty which is on the head of the fat belly shall be a fading flower, and as the hasty fruit before the summer, which when he that looketh upon it seeth, while it is yet in his hand, he eateth it up." Oh my, you know, you pick it and you eat it. It's, you know, it's there and then it's gone. Like a blink in the, of the eye. And you know, it's described as a fading flower. That which, you know, seemed to stand in prosperity and you know, have some kind of eliteness to it and all of that. Even a glorious beauty in a sense, you know. In other words, prosperous in that worldly sense, shall become as a fading flower. All at once, it's out. It's over. It's not beautiful any longer. Or as a hasty fruit before the summer, you know, you look upon it, it's in my hand, and then, wow, it's consumed. But praise the Lord, yes. There's a contrast here because, yes, it's talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he's going to come with glory. And yes, oh, he's going to come to judge this world in righteousness. But he's also going to come for his people. Praise the Lord. Oh, his remnant, those that have turned their lives over to him, those that have overcome the world. Amen. And it tells us in verse 5, "In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people." In other words, the remnant of his people, those that are his. Oh, you see the contrast. Oh, that wrathful outpouring of judgment to those that fear him not and have not prepared their hearts by any means, who have lived in their sins and in their vanity, in their evil, wicked ways. But oh yes, he's also coming to gather his people. Oh, he's coming with a crown of glory, like a diadem of beauty. And oh yes, a diadem is like the headband that holds up a crown. And you know, there may be diamonds and precious jewels, you know, in that crown, in that diadem. And praise the Lord, he's coming. He's coming to pick up his jewels, his people, his remnant, his seed, those that fear him, those that have prepared their hearts. Aren't you thankful that we have opportunity to get ready to meet him? Amen. It continues in verse 6, "And for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate." Oh, praise the Lord. So he's coming with a spirit of judgment. Praise the Lord, to judge the world in righteous judgment. Amen. "And for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate." In other words, those that have resisted the evil, oh yes, that have not allowed the enemy to prevail, to enter in, praise the Lord, they've held back, praise the Lord, they've overcome, oh yes, praise the Lord, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony and by loving not their lives unto the death. Praise the Lord, oh God's people, he's coming, yes, with that spirit of judgment. And also, yes, for a crown of glory to gather his people. Oh, yes, for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. Yes, that have resisted the enemy, that have overcome the world. Oh, praise the Lord, the devil, the flesh, the world. Praise the Lord. He's coming for his overcomers. Praise the Lord. And that's what we all must be. We're in this world to overcome. We all have circumstances that go awry. We all have circumstances that seem very difficult at times. And we could just, you know, lay our heads down and you know, give up. But that's not what the Lord wants us to do. No, he wants us to be encouraged in the Lord. He wants us to put on faith. Praise the Lord. He wants us to have strength, his strength, to overcome. Oh, we can't do it of ourselves. We need the strength of the Lord to resist the ploys of the devil. Amen. The enemy, all the temptations of this world. But he's coming, yes, for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. But now he's talking about the spiritual element here in 7, verse 7 here. It says, but they also have erred through wine and through strong drink, are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. Oh, what a situation. Oh, yes, the first verse, I believe, referred to the political rulership of the world, or those in power by strength one way or the other, political, monetary, financial power, or whatever all. Rulers of the world, you could say. But here, verse 7 refers to supposedly spiritual leadership. And this is pathetic. But sadly, this is a reality in this world today. Oh, yes, the story why it's so hard to find churches that preach the true word of God. Oh, it's become so corrupted. It's been so misinterpreted. Oh, so many have not perceived it properly. There are people that are in the pulpits and they're not strengthened by the Holy Ghost. They're not filled with the Holy Ghost. They don't know the Word of God. They don't even know God. So very many of them. Yes, it talks about how they have erred. The priest and the prophet, in other words, the spiritual leadership, have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. Oh, this is a very sad way for those that are supposedly leading people to heaven. Oh, very sad. If you know, people like priests, I mean, people follow that kind of leadership. And if those in those spiritual positions are in error, how can the people be right? But it's talking about such in the 7th verse. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. And oh my, their discernment levels they're nothing according to God's word. Amen. And God sees it as verse 8 describes, for all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Oh, what a sorry state. Oh, what a disgusting state. Oh, can you imagine how horrible that would be to, you know, to be in a place where it's so filthy, so full of vomit and all kinds of disgusting things all over the place that there is no spot that's clean? Well, that's describing the spiritual leadership here in this 28th chapter of the book of Isaiah. And that's how God sees it. Oh, yes. Oh, those that err in vision and stumble in judgment and yet, you know, are, and they're out of the way. And yet they're supposed to be spiritually guiding the people. Oh, that is not good. That is horrible. But praise the Lord. You know, I believe this is very descriptive of our even our present times. But I believe in the times of Isaiah is also similar. Then we have a question here in verse 9. If we can go to verse 9 now. And here is the big question. Here we see all these negatives and you know, almost like no hope. You know, the blind leading the blind, knowing that they all fall into the ditch and you know, the truth fallen in the streets and, you know, no one to lift up the standard. Oh, how pathetic, how sad. It's like they're all drunken. They're all on wine. They have no discernment. And they err in vision and stumble in judgment. So the big question is asked in verse 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Two big questions really right there. Because the knowledge of God is so important if we're going to make it to heaven. And I'll tell you what. A lot of churches don't like doctrine. But I'll tell you what, we need doctrine. Oh yes, God expects his people to follow the doctrine that has been written in his word. Amen. It's to be regarded. You know, Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all." And then verse 16, it states, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Oh, praise the Lord. I believe doctrine is to be regarded very strongly. We better take heed to it as Paul wrote to Timothy. Oh, yes, because, oh, yes, it has that ability to not only save ourselves, but them that hear us. Praise the Lord. And oh, that need to continue in them. Oh, we're not to go to the right or the left. You know, it's settled in heaven. God's word is settled in heaven. And oh my, we can't just take it and twist it to our liking. That's not what it's about at all. So these big questions here, verse 9 here in Isaiah 28. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Then he says, them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. There are some people, I believe the fact that it's talking about being weaned here is talking about some maturity, the ability, oh yes, to be in that place to rightly divide the Word of God. And of course, you know, we come to Him as newborn babes, but we need to grow in knowledge and in the understanding of our Lord and Savior. Amen. There's got to be growth, and there's got to be a desire, that hungering and thirst after righteousness. Oh, yes, as Jesus said, that they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Praise the Lord there, His Sermon on the Mount. Yes, Matthew chapter 5. Oh, there is that need. Oh, those people that are hungry, that are thirsty, that want to find the way of salvation, the way of life, the way to heaven more than anything else. The day that you seek for me with all your heart, that's the day that I will be found of you, Jeremiah wrote. Oh, yes, I'm thinking it's the 29th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. In fact, you know it is. I just turned to it. Praise the Lord. Yes, it says in Jeremiah 29, verse 12, then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Amen. It says in verse 14, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations, from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Oh, praise the Lord. He's talking about the restoration there when all those that have been carried off to Babylon and other places would be able to return. But oh my, there is a spiritual bondage, and we've all been in spiritual bondage. Oh, praise the Lord. We've all been in that place where we didn't know God. We didn't have hope. We were without God in this world. But praise the Lord, He made a way so that if we would seek Him, if we would search with all our heart, that He would be found of us. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm so glad for these words of life. Oh, this scripture that unfolds to us. Oh, when we ask the Lord to show us what we need to see, to lead us, to guide us, to give us understanding. Amen. He's able to do that. Amen. So it goes on to tell us in verse 10 of Isaiah 28. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Oh, yeah, the preciseness, the exactness of God's word, the precision, the order, you know, it all came forth as God ordained. Oh, yes, His plan, His purpose. And He knew there was going to be that time when the fullness of the time came forth. We know that God sent forth His Son into the world. Amen. Oh, yes. Just quoting it just as it is, Galatians 4, verse 4, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And praise the Lord, it says, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Oh, praise the Lord, the preciseness of God's plan. Oh, the fullness of the time came forth when it had come. Yes, God sent forth His Son. He came into the world. He put on flesh to come into this world so that He might save us from our sins. Praise the Lord, the wonderful plan of God, the unfolding of God's plan. Oh, it's a wonder. It was all ordained even before the foundation of the world. The Lord knew it all. Praise the Lord. But you know, it's in His order, precept upon precept. precept upon precept and line upon line, line upon line, and here a little and there a little. Yes, as the prophets brought it forth, as understanding came forth, you know, gradually, little by little, as God orchestrated it, as God ordained it. Oh, yes. Those precepts, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Those rules or principles that, you know, pertain to the things of God, oh, the course of action or the conduct that His people need to take. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's in the Word of God. Oh, yes, we have this book. Do you understand how wonderful it is to have the Scripture? Oh, praise the Lord. And then, oh my, He tells how it's going to come forth. Praise the Lord. Oh, how the wonder of it all. You know, God is a Spirit. And as a Spirit, He wasn't able to minister to men and women, of course, in such a way that He could save them from their sins. It took flesh to do that. So God Almighty, oh yes, He put His seed into a woman, Mary, and oh, He was born of flesh, praise the Lord. He came to this earth as a Son of God, as a Son of Man, to save us from our sins, praise the Lord, to redeem us, the whole plan of God, knowing that He was going to take on the death of the cross, be crucified, that He might save us from our sins. Praise the Lord. But oh, yes, He knew that there would be that time when, oh, yes, there would be needed something greater than before, greater than all what had been written before as the law. There had to be something in the heart to direct people's lives, to change people. Praise the Lord. And yes, He was going to bring forth the Comforter. And praise the Lord, He was going to come and abide in His people. He's going to send forth His Spirit so He could abide with us forever. The Spirit of truth that would come into our beings to abide with us forever. Praise the Lord. And He's telling, oh yes, the route that it would follow here in verse 11. For with stammering lips and another tongue will He speak to this people. Praise the Lord. Yes, He inspired the Spirit of God, came upon the prophets of old, and they brought forth their prophetic utterances. But in this time of the new covenant, the Spirit of the Lord comes down into our very beings as His children, as His sons and daughters. Praise the Lord, so that He indwells within His people. He puts His Spirit within His people. And how do we know? Praise the Lord. Well, we obey the gospel that need to repent foremost when we perceive our sin. And praise the Lord, that's a gift of God to open up our understanding, to help us to realize that we're sinners. Oh, that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And oh my, without His help, we're not going to make it into heaven. But praise the Lord, He made a way. And yes, He made a way that we could repent, that we could turn our lives over to the living God. Give Him a heart, say amen, and then obey the command to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Praise the Lord. And yes, with a promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord, that Spirit of truth, the Comforter, oh, the Spirit of Jesus that comes to dwell in our beings. Oh, yes, and verse 11 breaks it out. For with stammering lips and another tongue will He speak to this people? Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, He came upon them on the day of Pentecost. Oh, those cloven tongues, like as fire came down and sat upon them. And oh, praise the Lord. They all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. Praise the Lord. And oh, they knew. Peter stood up and said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Your young men shall see visions and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I'm going to pour out of my spirit. Praise the Lord. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. As the Spirit of God came upon the recipients, those, that were gathered there waiting for, the Lord Jesus, to baptize them with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Amen. As John the Baptist had said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but there is one that's coming, he's mightier than me, and he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Praise the Lord. And that is what happened on the day of Pentecost. Praise the Lord. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, what a gift. Do we realize what a gift we've been given? The plan of God, it's so beautiful. He led them, in various ways in the Old Testament. But oh my, his new covenant will is that, he would come and abide in his people. He would bring forth the Spirit of truth. Praise the Lord. He would send forth the Holy Ghost. A ghost is the spirit of a departed one. Oh, Jesus gave up the ghost on the cross, but praise the Lord, he sent it back on the day of Pentecost so that he might indwell in his people. And yes, it's telling us here, verse 11, Isaiah 28, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. Oh, that is so amazing how God takes that unruly tongue that Book of James talks about, a tongue that gets us into so much trouble. Praise the Lord, he takes our tongue. Oh, praise the Lord, all at once, that tongue is speaking forth in a language that we don't know of ourselves. Praise the Lord, that tongue, begins to make utterances that are not in our native languages. Praise the Lord, thank the Lord, that's God breathing on us, sending forth his Spirit, taking that unruly tongue and making something of us. Praise the Lord. So that, he could teach us knowledge. And he can make us to understand doctrine. Praise the Lord, yes. He sends forth his Spirit so that, we might have understanding. The disciples walked with Jesus those 3.5 years. What a marvelous thing that must have been. But it wasn't until Pentecost, until they received the Holy Ghost, that they had understanding that came from God. It gave them a strength that they did not have. I believe we talked about Peter last week, it seems. And Jesus had said to him, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Jesus has said, Satan hath desired thee, Peter, to sift thee as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Praise the Lord. And there he was, that spokesman in that second chapter of the book of Acts. Boldly, bravely, bringing forth the glorious gospel, having the keys to the kingdom and, proclaiming it there in the second chapter of the book of Acts. Praise our God. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 12 says here in Isaiah 28, verse 12, to whom he said, this is the rest, wherewith he may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. And then, believe it or not, it said, yet they would not hear. How interesting. The wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. And Jesus, through prophetic utterances here, is proclaiming that this is the rest. The Holy Ghost, the stammering lips of the other tongue, is the rest, wherewith he may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Yet it says, yet they would not hear. Oh my, let's look at a few other verses here. Let's turn to Isaiah 30, verse 15, just a few pages. I don't think I'm done with Isaiah 28 yet, but let's look at Isaiah 30, verse 15. Here it's prophesied. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And here it is again. And you would not. Okay, returning. I believe that implies our repentance to God. And then it mentions rest. And we've just talked about rest in Isaiah 28. And that is being identified in that 11th and 12th verse in Isaiah 28. And, you know, here, yes, in Isaiah 30, verse 15, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. Oh, our confidence in God. You know, we let the Lord fight our battles. We give our lives over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. That's what it means to surrender our will. We give our lives over to the Lord. I'm here, Lord. Please take my life. Please lead me. Please guide me. Please forgive me. Oh, Lord Jesus, please have mercy on me. And please fill me with the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, it's a promise, the gift of the Holy Ghost. But yet the resistance. And ye would not. Verse 16 here in Isaiah 30 says, but ye said, no, for we will flee upon horses. Therefore shall ye flee, and we will ride upon the swift. Therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. Oh, how sad. This sounds like rejection of something that is so wonderful. Oh, something that is so real and precious. Praise the Lord. Turning to Jeremiah, chapter 6, praise the Lord, and verse 16. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way, and walk therein? And ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. See the total resistance to the plan of God. Oh my. Why somebody would want to refuse something as wonderful as God's gift to his people. Oh my. But you see it's brought out here in Jeremiah 6, verse 16, too. All that promise of finding rest. Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Go back to that which is genuine. Go back to the Word of God. Go back to repentance. Where is the good way? And walk therein. You do that, and it says, ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. So sad, all this resistance. It says in verse 17 here, Jeremiah 6, also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Oh, that spirit of rebellion that's in people even to this day. Oh my, that it not be named among us. Praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 11. Let's go there. And here we're getting a little closer. Oh, to that time when Jesus would come, at least in the prophetic utterance here. It says in Isaiah 11, verse 10, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Oh, praise the Lord. And it says in verse 11, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt, from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and shall gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Oh, he was gathering his people together on the day of Pentecost. And it's, you know, so amazing how it all happened. But there they were, many from many different nations, all gathered there together as the Lord was moving on his hand, setting his hand again, like the second time, to recover the remnant of his people. Praise the Lord, reaching out, oh, to recover his people. Oh, he sent his remnant back from Babylon after 70 years of captivity, after they had been sent to Babylon and very other places where they had been dispersed. That was a regathering of his people. But I believe on the day of Pentecost, oh yes, he was regathering his people the second time. Oh, praise the Lord. And he was sending forth his rest. Oh, that rest that he had promised. Oh, of course, we know that he talked of it. Matthew, that 11th chapter, praise the Lord. Familiar verses here, end of Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, where Jesus said to the people, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Praise the Lord. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Oh, praise the Lord. We find rest from our labors. We find rest from our old man when we turn our lives over to the Lord Jesus and let him make a new creature out of us, taking our lives so he can rule and reign in our lives. Praise the Lord. And what does he do? He sends forth the Holy Ghost, that he might lead us and guide us into all truth. Oh, yes, that he might abide with us forever, as we read there in John, the 14th chapter, and also chapters 15 and 16 talk about the Spirit of truth, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. Amen. In Hebrews, the 4th chapter, I'm turning there right now, it tells us that there is something that we must regard here. It tells us in Hebrews 4, verse 1, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. And that third chapter of Hebrews speaks of how the children of Israel had hardened hearts. Oh, when they were going through the wilderness and were tempted, and you know, it was the time of provocation when they provoked the Lord, when, oh, they gave Moses all kinds of trouble, and they didn't heed, and we know because of unbelief, those of that older generation could not enter into the promised land. Praise the Lord. Only Joshua and Caleb were able to enter in, of the older generation. And so, yes, we must regard there was a rest that was hoped for when they entered into the promised land, Canaan land. Oh, yes, once their enemies were eliminated, that they would have a time of peace, a time of repose, a time of rest. But spiritually, under the new covenant, there is a rest that God has ordained for his people. And here, In the fourth chapter of Hebrews, again, it begins by saying, "Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise." Oh, yes, that exemplified rest. Oh, rest from our old works, as he goes on to tell us if we complete this thought here. "For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise. And God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief." Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, "Today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear my voice, harden not your heart." For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day, another period of time, another dispensation, this wonderful period of grace? Oh, praise the Lord, when the Lord had a special rest for his people, and he spoke of that day that was beyond. And it says in verse 9, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." And explains in verse 10, "For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his." And then the encouragement in verse 11, "Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." All those things under the old covenant in the Old Testament were written for our examples. And we can see what happened when people did not have faith, when they did not respond to the Word of God, when they did not go forth to believe God. They fell. And oh, here we are so admonished that we need to labor, in other words, to work, therefore, to enter into that rest. That rest, which is described in verse 10, "For he that is entered into his rest," God's rest, "he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his." Oh, praise the Lord. God's seventh day there, as he was ending his creation period there, you know, exemplified the time of rest. When we would give our lives to the Lord Jesus, we turn our lives over to him so that we rest from our old man, our own works. We put on Christ. Praise the Lord, we're baptized in the waters of baptism and buried with Christ. Rise to walk in fullness of life. Praise the Lord, with the promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, that rest that is talked of here, praise the Lord, so that we can cease from our own works as God did from his. You see the very preciseness of God's word, all the wonderful plan, and oh yes, the things that exemplified what would be forthcoming as the plan of God came forth. Oh, again, you know, precept upon precept, line upon line. Here, little, and there, little. Oh, praise the Lord, as it was all brought into being. Oh, the wonderful plan of God. Oh, so hard to understand. Oh, those holy men of God that, you know, spoke of it and uttered it, and yet they couldn't understand what it meant when it was, you know, spoken of the Holy Ghost come down from God, you know, that would indwell in the heart. Oh, of course, they couldn't understand it because it wasn't yet for them. But it came to them that, you know, that was the Holy Ghost that would be sent down from heaven which things the angels desire to look into, as 1 Peter, that first chapter, brings out. Oh, so beautifully. Oh, praise the Lord. They searched what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Oh, praise the Lord. There from 1 Peter, that first chapter. Praise the Lord. Verses 10, 11, and 12. Oh, praise the Lord. The Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Oh, the unfolding of God's plan. Oh, yes. You know, he came to dwell among those people. But, oh, yes, they were told, oh, that day would come. And, you know, that I'm not going to be with you in person, in other words, but I'm going to send back my spirit. Oh, that I might abide with you forever. Praise the Lord. Oh, John, that 14th chapter. Praise the Lord. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Oh, praise the Lord. His presence comes to dwell in our beings. Oh, praise the Lord. And how, you know, he shows it with stammering lips and another tongue speaking to his people. Praise the Lord. Back here in Isaiah 28, verse 11, verse 12 again, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. But the word of God was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Oh, how sad. God's word has come forth. Oh, yes, as it has been declared, God's plan. Oh, the precision and exactness of it. Praise the Lord. But yet those that would not hear, it's there. It's declared. It's forever established in heaven. But for those that do not hear, who refuse to hear, it's that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Oh, not good at all. Not good at all. But oh, praise the Lord for those that have faith. Those that are willing to take God at his word and to go with it. Oh, to believe it regardless of the times. And here we are at the end of the world, I believe, and we're seeing things that, oh my, we could have never imagined, it seems. Oh, we wondered about it. I know I wondered about it. What would it be like? But oh, here we are. We're seeing, oh, great perplexity, great confusion. Oh my, a time of, like we never saw before. But praise God, we know that God has ordained even such moments as these. And oh my, we know beyond a doubt that our God is going to be with us even until the end of the world. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So yes, for those that do not heed, those to whom he cannot teach knowledge, to those that will not be made to understand doctrine, oh, it is as a snare. It is, oh yes, something that causes confusion and great distress, so that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Oh, not good by any means. Isaiah went on in verse 14 to say, wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Oh, what a folly. What a scandalous way of to think. Oh, my. But, oh, my, there are those, you can tell, they have made a covenant with death. They think that hell is not going to overflow them. Oh, my, that, you know, they've got an agreement with the devil, you could say. You know, and they're doing his work, and they're trying to bring forth the devil's plan. His cutting, his devices, always all in the making. Devil has always wanted to have control of this world, and oh, you can see what they're trying to do even at these moments as they are trying to force their way through and bring forth a one world. Oh, all these things that are coming, that they're attempting to put into place. And I believe these men, these women, oh yes, who are given over to this mentality, who made this covenant with death and with hell, are in agreement. Oh, they're thinking, no, when that overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. Oh, we're going to be the victors in this. Just as the devil thought he had the advantage when he sent Jesus to the cross. But oh my, he didn't understand the plan of God. Oh my, there is no hope in the devil's cunning, his devices. Oh, it's all going to fall. It's all going to collapse. Oh yes, for we have made lies our refuge, they think. And under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Oh, that's not going to stand though, because it tells us in verse 16, therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, there's going to be no regrets for those that believe and fall on the rock, Christ Jesus. Oh, yes, who go to that chief cornerstone. Oh, who place their life on the rock, Christ Jesus, that foundation. Oh, that foundation is sure. It's tried. It's a precious cornerstone. Oh, yes, it's going to make it through the tribulation of this world. Oh, it's going to make it through every trial. Oh, yes, and he that believeth, and believeth, you see the ETH is not only to believe, but to continue to believe, to trust in God, to do his word, to obey his word, praise the Lord, shall not make haste. Oh, indeed, wonderful to have our lives into, oh, yes, that foundation that has been laid, that rock, Christ Jesus, that sure foundation. Oh, praise the Lord. Tells us in verse 17, judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand when the overflowing scourge shall pass through. Then ye shall be trodden down by it. Oh, it's wonderful to have our lives in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, to have turned over our lives, our understanding to him. Praise the Lord. There are many, I'm sure, that think, they're going to outwit God. But there is one thing that we know. There's going to be that moment when he comes. Oh, when he comes with power, with glory. Oh, as King of kings and Lord of lords, and every eye is going to see him, and they that pierced him, and oh, yes, all kindreds of the earth are going to wail because of him. Oh, there's going to be complete understanding at that moment when Jesus Christ returns to this world as King of kings, as Lord of lords. Oh, praise the Lord. It tells us in Revelation 19, verse 11, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Oh, praise the Lord, here he comes forth. Oh, this time not as a babe lying in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. Oh my, unnoticed, unknown. Oh no, he's coming, oh, as King of Kings, as Lord of Lords, as faithful and true. In righteousness he doth judge and make war. He's coming. Oh yes, the devil will be defeated. Amen. He is clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. Oh, that price that he paid on Calvary so that we could have access to God, so that we could come to God, so that we could become his sons and daughters, so that we could be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. He's coming back. His name is called the Word of God. Oh, praise the Lord. He's coming just as sure as I'm standing here at this moment. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Oh, the church of the living God, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, the armies in heaven, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Praise the Lord, it all coming together. Oh, that gathering of his people. And he comes back, his people. Oh, white horses clothed in fine linen, white and clean, yes. Because we've been cleansed from our unrighteousness. That blood that Jesus shed on the cross of Calvary was for our sins. He paid a price that we might be his children, that we might have our sins forgiven. Have you turned it over to the Lord Jesus tonight? Have you given him your life? Have you given him your sins? Oh, praise the Lord, so that you can be clothed with his righteousness. Praise the Lord. Oh, we need his righteousness. Our own righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. Our own righteousnesses are not going to get us into heaven. But praise the Lord when we come to the Lord Jesus and accept his salvation. Praise the Lord. He puts on, oh Lord, thank you, Jesus. He clothes us with his righteousness, described here as fine linen, white and clean. Praise the Lord. And as he comes back, it tells us in verse 15, Revelation 19, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he shall smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, he's coming. Oh, that wine press, oh, is going to be overturned. Oh, that cup of sin, of iniquity, that's brimming to the full even now, of sins of the people, oh, that are unforgiven, that have not been, oh, given over to the Lord Jesus, are there. Oh, and it's that moment when he comes back to judge the world with his righteous judgment. Oh, we're not going to be able to stand before him with sin in our lives. That's why it's necessary for us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt us in due time. That's why we bend our knees and acknowledge our sins and give our lives over to the Lord. That's why we acknowledge the fact that we are sinners, that we need Jesus Christ. But praise the Lord, he takes those sins. Oh, praise the Lord. They are buried in the waters of baptism. Oh, praise the Lord. He clothes us with his righteousness. Oh, yes, that wonderful promise of being filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord, so that we can stand in his sight and we can be clothed with his righteousness, not our own works, but that which he hath done for us. Praise the Lord. That we might be judged righteous in his sight. Oh, praise the Lord, that we might overcome and receive that crown of life which the righteous judge has promised to all them that love is appearing. Oh, praise the Lord. Have you turned it over to the Lord tonight? Have you given your life to Him? Oh, praise the Lord. Have you been filled with the Holy Ghost? Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, that's the rest wherewith the weary shall rest. Praise the Lord. That is the refreshing. So many have refused God's gift. Oh, the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. That was brought forth on the day of Pentecost. For this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Oh, praise the Lord, the wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost, the promise of eternal life. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. We can rest in Him. Praise the Lord. His promises are yea and amen in all the preciseness, the exactness of His wonderful mercy and grace toward us. Oh, what a gift we've been given. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, turn it over to the Lord tonight. Give Him your heart tonight. Let Him fill you with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, Heavenly Father, we love You. We praise You. We exalt Thee. We thank You for Your promises, Lord. I pray that You'd work in every heart. Oh, Lord, I pray that You'd call, Lord. Oh, God, get us ready for that great and terrible day of the Lord when You come back to this world. Get us ready, Lord Jesus, so that we can stand before You and be counted worthy, Lord. Be counted righteous, Your righteousness, Lord. Oh, God, thank You, Lord. Oh, thank You for the gift of salvation. Thank You for that which You have wrought. Oh, God, work in a mighty way, I ask, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Oh, what a privilege to serve the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank You, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to go over to the piano. Praise the Lord. We'll sing a little here. Praise the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank You, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank You, God. Oh, thank You, God. Let's do Have Thine Own Way, Lord, number 13 in the chorus book. Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Oh, we want Him to rule and reign in our lives. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you.
Thank you.